Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are tuning in from across our beautiful, beautiful country, beautiful Namibia, or maybe outside of the border of this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Namibia, and from the Strait of Windhoek to the sandy plains of the Kalahari. From the coast of breeze of Swakopmund to the cattle post of Oshana regions. Welcome to Mind Matters. I am your host, Michael Chiavelli. Well, that wasn't too bad, eh? Yeah, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome, 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 welcome. So I just wanted to see if I can be really, really poetic sometimes. Yeah, which I see. You know, if I put effort into it, I think I can be able to do that. Just like anything in life, you know, if you put efforts into it, of course, you will be wondering, we will be wonder what you can achieve if you put some effort in anything at all. Okay. Where there is a will, there is a way. Remember that. Where there is a will, there is a way. So good morning. It's a Saturday morning. It's the last day of February, of the month of February. It's a Saturday morning, partly cloudy, a little bit hot in this part of the world. It's quite a bit hot. It rained last night. Again, I love rain. That's why I talk about rain quite a lot. So some of us have a little goat there, few cows there, you know, a little chicken there, you know. So then when it rains, it gives you that a chance. It gives you a chance. It gives you a chance. All right. With your little chicken and pigs and, you know, and goats and all that. All right. So welcome. Welcome to, Mind Matter. This is the program that, have you a little bit of relax. You know, I normally do unpacking the day during over the week. And this is the program now. I always want you to relax, but also not just relaxing, but also looking at issues that affect us in our life. And basically we focus on those, you know, aspect that are patterns, are psychological patterns or are social factors that affect now how we think and how we feel and how we behave or how we make choices in life. So those are things that we focus on this program. So we start at 11 until 1 o'clock, and we call this time, these hours, mental health hours. So where we discuss anything that has to do with your well-being, your physical, mental, emotional, financial, you know, we can talk about as anything that has to do with your well-being. This is the platform where we discuss that. And we haven't excluded you from this. So you are welcome, you know, at any time where you, if you have anything that, that you really want to discuss about. I actually, just to give you an example, I just received a text now. Someone actually texted me and told me that there is a young boy who had tried a couple of times to analyze himself, take his own life. And I was just asked, what do we need? What can we do? How do we help this young boy? Just a few minutes. So the principal of the school, I don't know where they get my number, but yeah. So things like that. That's why I said, you know, this is real life. There are really issues. There are really life issues that are happening in our life. And sometimes we just don't know who to talk to. Yeah. So who to talk to. And as I said, this is a platform. You don't need to expose yourself, by saying this is what I'm going through. If you're courage enough to talk about that, you're most welcome, but you are welcome to come on the show and tell us what is going on with you. So I don't promise that I will help you. We will discuss it and maybe looking at a way how we can get you a help. All right. How we can get you help. So make sure use this platform. Either discuss what we discuss, but you are also most welcome, to come on and have your question, if you have a question, or express your what you're going through, if there's something that you're going through, or someone that you know going through something and you don't know how to help that person. Like just the principal that actually just contacted me asking, how do we help, you know, this boy who is actually suicidal? So I will talk to them when the show is finished. So as I said, this is real life, and that's why we create a platform like this to be able to help you, because I'm a professional in that background. So I have a little bit of a skills and tools that that will be able to, you know, to help you. And there are a lot of other professionals that are listening or that I know. If I cannot be able to do that to help you, we can always refer you to someone who can be able to help you. So, but let's not make it a heavy program where we just sad and talking about bad stuff or, you know, heavy stuff. No. This is more relaxing, you know, where we relax, where we come and discuss issues about ourselves. You know, where we're not talking about economic stuff, business stuff or whatever, where we're really focusing on us, on me, on my thoughts, on my feeling, on my behavior. So this is the show. And today we are asking a question. A question is, does cohabiting, okuoteka nengo kuotekwa, you know, does cohabiting increases or decreases your chances of marriage? All right. Does living together or cohabiting increases or decreases your chance of marriage? All right. Now, before you rush to, you know, judgment or switch off of the radio and saying, you know, you are now about to judge me. No, that's not what it's all about. Okay. Please stay with me. Let's discuss about this. This is not about pointing fingers or condemning anyone. All right. This is about understanding. This is about reflecting and making informed choices about our lives and our relationship. When you choose, you know, when we choose now to live together, is this the right? Have we made an informed choices about that? There are issues that we're going to look at. So, and definitely looking at, does it increases your chances? Does it increases your chances or decreases your chances of actually getting that ring? Maybe you also want to know, what am I doing? Why am I? It has been 3 years, 4 years, 5 years living together with this woman or with this guy, and he's not popping the question. Why is not popping the question? So definitely this is where you should be. This is where you should be, because we're going to look at some of these things. What the reasons why, maybe why would the factor that increases your chances of being married, of living together, that the chances of living together, the factors that actually increase your chances of marriage by living together, by cohabitating, also looking at the factors that decreases your chances of getting married or getting married when you're living together, when you choose to live together. So make sure that you stick around, and it doesn't matter. It's not about now you being in a relationship already or being living together. We're not looking at that. This is something that might happen to you. Maybe you're a young person and you never know what happened tomorrow. So this is also for you to understand, what are the things that I need to look out, you know, before I decide to live together with somebody. And also if you're living together already and it has been 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and I have instance of 12 years, people living together, and that question have never been popped. So why? So those are some of the things that we're going to look at. All right. So you see, now in Namibia today, we we are witnessing a significant shift in how relationships are formed and also how they are maintained. So now we have actually young people now moving together, you know, moving in together before the marriage. And this has gone up. It's something, it has become a phenomenon now. This cohabitating has become a phenomenon, which has also become a problem to the church because the church doesn't want you to live together, but it has become a phenomenon, at a very fast pace, if you like. So, which something maybe if you think of our grandmothers or parents would have never really imagined this. You understand? So now, whether it's in Katutura, in Ongwediva, in Rundu, and right here in Ondangwa, we see couple actually sharing homes. And not only sharing home, maybe sharing bills and sharing life without the formal commitment of marriage. So the question we must ask ourselves, is simple, but yet a little bit profound. Now, the question is, it's the same question I asked earlier, but is it a stepping stone to marriage? Is living together a stepping stone? Or cohabitating, is this a stepping stone to marriage? Or is it a stumbling block? All right? Let me share something, okay? Let me share something with you from my experience as a counselor, all right? And behavior analyst. So last month, a young woman walked into my office, the counseling session office. Okay, let's call her Ntapewa, all right? Now, she's 28 years old, educated, working, beautiful inside and out, okay? And she has been living with her boyfriend for 4 years. Yeah, it was for 4 years. 4 years. Now, they split the rent. They are living together. They split the rent. They share groceries. Sometimes they attended family function together. You know, everyone assumed marriage, you know, was around the corner. So it has been 4 years. So her family was asking, his family was asking. So everyone from the other side is asking, hey guys, what is going on? When are you popping? And even neighbors were asking. So, but marriage never came. Now, when she finally gathered the courage actually to ask him about their future, so he said something that from her, what she said broke her heart. He told her, why should we get married? Now, we already live like married couples. We already live like married people. What would that change? Yeah? What would that change? So, my dear listener, that statement right there, it captures the central dilemma of cohabitating in our society. That actually captures the central dilemma of living together in our society. So when you give someone all the benefit of marriage without without the commitment, when you give someone all the benefits of marriage without the commitment, what motivation remains for them actually to take that next step? Eh? So if I'm already open the honey pot, what motivation, what motivation is there, for me now to take the next step? So, and I'm talking from human behaviors. Okay. So, and also we have to factor in how a woman thinks and how a man think. All right. So, and here, this is not about blaming anyone. Okay. This is about understanding human nature and the patterns that shape our relationship. So that's what we're looking at. is understanding human nature and the pattern that shape our relationship or the decision that we make and choices that we make. So over the next 2 hours, over the next maybe an hour and some minutes now, we will explore this topic from multiple angles. We're going to look at multiple angles. We will look at what research actually tells us, what our culture says, you know, what our heart, it's very important because most of the time we follow our heart, what probably our heart feels, and the wisdom teaches and what the wisdom actually teaches. So, yeah, we will hear stories. I will probably provide you with some stories from the people who have worked, who have actually walked this path. And we will challenge ourselves to think deeply about what we want from our own relationship and how our choices today shape our tomorrow. So, yeah. So whether now you are currently cohabitating, you know, considering it, or simply curious about this phenomenon, as I swear, this phenomenon which is actually sweeping through our nation. So, well, stay tuned. This is Mind Matter, and we are just actually getting started. So, yeah, before we get to understand cohabitation in Namibia, let's have a quick music break, you know. Let's have a quick music, you know, something just to spice up something just to spice up our day a little bit, you know, our program from the beginning. And yeah, so what do we get here? All right. Nomfundo, should we get this? Yeah, we get Nomfundo more Sibaningi.
Inhliziyo yakhe yathuthi yaphelezela, uthande nginalo luya ngokuyaluyehla, engathi kwanele manje, engathi kwanele umpendiso kwebhola, ngishonisale ngisale, ngishonisale ngisale. When you can disobey,
aqale ngokuxolisa phela ama secret alidlule iqakala isokisi ngiyabona ngathi aswani hlala phansi ngikubonisa uthando lwethu lusaphila usathana wakhiphokisa I mean indoda indoda ngeqiniso layo angisile type ezokumokola ngempilo enganayo kodwa ngiyalazi iphupho lakho wena sise nasombelief mangibabhizi ngigijimisa lo mpilo esinganayo. Yeah, my past is nothing pretty. There's some things you ain't forgiven. I just ask that you give me a little faith. Ngiyena paisa nabo tsidi, nabo sanda, nabo sindi, nabo wakhali nyembezi. bona cha ngeke ngilinge ngiphinde ngizwile lezwile ngikuzwisile ubuhlungu kodwa right ngibaningi baningi necherry am nomngana nam nomngam lapho ku
Well, Sibani Gay, and that's Nomfundo Moore, Sibani Gay. All right, welcome back. Our time is, what is our time now? Our time is 11 minutes, 25 minutes past the hour of 11, and I'll be here with you. I'll be in your company until 1 o'clock. When I will be handing over to Tate France, I always hand over to Tate France. So when I will be handing over to Tate France, who's coming with the realm of the history. Yeah. Something is not right. Okay, got it right. All right, welcome back. So what we're talking today, so if you're just joining us, we're looking at, it's actually cohabitating, living together. Is it a stepping stone to marriage, or is it actually a stumbling block, living together or cohabitating? So the question, the topic that really we're looking at is, does cohabitating increases your chances of marriage, or does it decrease your chances of marriage? So, and that's what we look. And now let's get into understanding what cohabitation look like in Namibia, in our Namibian context. It could be different in other countries, but let's look at how does that look like in our Namibian context to have this conversation also. Honestly, to have this conversation, I think we must first acknowledge the living together before marriage. The living together before marriage has become increasingly common, across our nation. So it is a phenomenon that is very common nowadays in Namibia. And this is not just a city phenomenon. It's not just constrained. Or restricted to kind of city life or urban, it's not just an urban trend. So it's something that's also happening in the rural areas, in small towns, in universities. We have now, couples living together in university, in workplaces across all our 14 regions. So it's a phenomenon that has become, common across our nation. Now, why are so many young people, why are so many Namibians choosing to cohabitate? Why are so many Namibians choosing to cohabitate? So, yeah, let's break down this. We need to break this down because understanding the reasons, if we start to understand the reason, that help us also understand the phenomenon itself. So for us to understand the phenomenon itself, then let's look at the reasons why. And remember this, we're looking at, even when we're looking at these reasons, we're looking at, we're looking at how does that contribute, now does that actually contribute to, does that increases your chances or decreases your chances of marriage as a phenomenon itself? All All right. So the first reason is very obvious. You probably something that come top of your head already. It's economic pressure. So economic pressure plays a huge role in these decisions. Now think about this now. So if economic pressure plays a huge role, so we're going to come talk about the intention. Okay. They're living together. And this is where people actually get mixed up. Okay. So are we living together as boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever couple we call ourselves? Because living together, it helps us to meet our economic needs. Well, of course, the emotional need would be also very, would also be welcomed. But do we really figure out the real intention of each one of us? So now we all know that housing costs in Namibia have skyrocketed, and the rental prices in places like Windhoek have become unbearable for many young professionals. So when you have two incomes combining to pay one rent, it makes a financial sense. Sometimes that make a financial sense. Now, I have had clients tell me that we moved in together because separately we could not afford a decent place. So, and honestly, I mean, who can blame them for wanting a roof over your head, a decent roof over your head? So now I wanted you to think about that. So because this create a lot of problem in the future, because are we coming together? Sometimes one of the couple may thinking we're coming together because we are thinking of building, of moving forward. This would lead, okay? We're coming together because this would lead to maybe to marriage. But maybe the intention of someone else, the other couple would be, well, that's helped me to afford accommodation, to afford social needs. So you understand? So there you also have to understand that what drives then couples actually living together, especially young professionals, who find themselves away from home and also finding themselves in situation where accommodation is very expensive. With your little salary, you may not be able to afford a really decent, handy staying with your boyfriend who that would probably take care of that. But now the question we'll be looking at that, does now that really increases your chances of marriage or decreases that? All right. We're going to go into that, later on, but let's look at the second reason as well. I often hear, this is what I call a trial run mentality, that kind of a mentality where, many young couples actually believe that living together before marriage is like a test driving a car before you buy it. You hear that, if women don't know that, sometimes within the men, how I said, well, how can you just drive a car without testing it? So it's kind of like a test drive, okay? A test drive of the car before you buy it. So they want to see, and sometimes women also want that. We also want to see, I want to see if we are compatible. So we want to see if we are compatible, if we can stand each other's habit or whatever the case may be, or if we can manage a household together. So yeah, it's a test. It's a trial run. So it's a trial run. So to see if we are compatible or we can handle each other. We can, we can stand each other's behavior and things like or habit. So we want to find out already. But when I look at that, and which things are, these are very common, and this, how many people are thinking, that's the way they're thinking now. Now, on the surface, it sounds logical. On the surface it sounds logical, but here's where I invite you to think a bit deeper, right? So here's where I invite you to think a little bit deeper. So is a human relationship really comparable to buying a car? Is it comparable? Can you truly test now, and listen to this one. Listen to my question. Can you truly test now the commitment required for marriage when you have already moved in without that commitment? So what you're saying, you are testing a commitment, you know, to marriage. What would it feel like? What would we be able to live up by that commitment without actually, without that commitment? It's not the same. So it's not the same. Eh? So there was a young man I counseled, told me something profound, you know. He had lived with his girlfriend for 2 years before they got married. And after 6 months of marriage, he came to see me, confused and frustrated. He said, marriage feel different. You understand? Marriage feel different. When we were just living together, we both had one feet, you know, we both have one foot out the door emotionally. That's what he said. You know, we both have one foot out the door emotionally. What he mean is that we knew we could leave if things got tough. Now that we are married, the stakes feel higher. You know, it's kind of like the stakes feel very higher. So the argument feel heavier. You know, I was not prepared for this shift. I think he said he was not actually prepared for this shift that they have made. Now, this man discovered something important. Living together and being married are fundamentally different experience. And that's why I'm asking that when I ask that questions that you can't try test the commitment that without it, you know? So it's married and living together and married are fundamentally different experience. Not because of what you do together. It's not about what you do together, but because of the level of commitment you bring to the relationship. Do you understand? So it's not what you do together, but, and remember this, it's the level of commitment you bring now to the relationship. It's totally, totally different. And you cannot test drive it, you know, by say, let's see how we cope with each other. You understand? So, now, let's talk about the cultural dimension of cohabitation in Namibia. All right? So, our traditional culture generally emphasizes the importance of formal unions, no? Or oyonda, ne? The lobola negotiation. There's things like, that's why I said it emphasizes the importance of formal union, you know? You have the lobola negotiations, you have oyonda negotiation, you have family introduction, you need to be introduced to the family, community celebrations. You know, these are not just rituals. So when these things are done, are not just rituals. They represent a social contract. I want you to understand that. They represent a social contract that actually binds. Yeah? Because we have a community celebration. You were introduced to our community, to our family. Now, I'm talking about this because what we do today nowadays, young people nowadays, what do? You meet each other at the university or wherever you're working together in Wintuk, Wavish Bay, and you just decided to, you know, to elope, not elope, just decided to live together. Some live. Yeah? So you just decided to some live. So now, The aunt family introduction, there are nobody knows at home that, you know, you have a boyfriend or you have a girlfriend or you have a woman or a man, you know. So, and what I'm trying to help for you to understand that when these things are done according to culture, from the cultural dimension, is that they represent a social contract. When people knows that this is your woman from the family point of view, from everyone point of view, from the community, you know, whether you know, whatever ritual that you go through, because when you go and introduce yourself, it's ritual. So they represent a social contract, and that actually binds not just two individuals, but two families now, you know, two families, two lineage now, you know? So I want you to understand the depth of that. So when couples bypass this process and move in together, they sometimes actually face family disapproval. That's why family kind of like, you know, we don't agree with that. And you start not to have actually a good relationship with your father or your mother or your parents because, you know, I love him. We're living together. That's the best. Okay. Community gossip, though, you know, you have people talking and a sense of living outside of the accepted norms. You know, this is our lives. And, we don't care what the family thinks or who other people thinks. Now, but here's something interesting I have observed. All right. Many families have quietly accepted, you know, cohabitation because they see, many family now have accepted because they see it as a precursor. Is the precursor a word? Yeah, a precursor, or kind of a preparation to marriage, you know? So they tolerate it and sometimes even support it, expecting that marriage will eventually follow. Now, the problem arises when years passes. You know, children are born, marriage never comes. You know, and then the questions start. Then the pressure builds and then the disappointment adds start to grow. All right, someone is knocking on my door. Let me hear what he has to say. Good morning, welcome to Mind Mentor.
Yes, how are you?
Yes, Menier.
Yeah, which topic do you have today at your radio?
Are you not listening?
No, I'm using Katoshi. I'll buy a smartphone soon.
Okay, the topic is, Oku, when we live together, okay, when a man and woman live together without being married, does that increases the chances of marriage or decreases the chances of marriage?
Yeah, because I'm not that much perfect in English, but I'll try to mix also with Shwambo.
No, it's okay. It's okay. No, you can mix. You can mix. Okay?
Yeah.
You can speak. You can speak Namlish. It's okay.
Yeah. Let me start first to raise up my point.
Eshi to druku popza mo shingiri zato shitrege mo Shwambo na tango. It's fine.
Yeah, watate. It has been a while without to listening to my radio. Now we are just listening to other stations because we are using other source of listening the radio.
Yeah, no, don't worry. It will come.
So this, it happened, let me start with myself.
Yeah.
Me, myself, if I give you my history.
Yeah.
You'll be shocked. This is a really man. You know me.
Yeah.
I started dating a woman when I was, I cannot tell the age, but just the year when I started.
Yeah.
I started dating my girlfriend. We started 2015.
Hmm.
And then from there we come. We were just like,
yeah.
And then the lady was in Vambal and me, I was in Wolfis, but I used to come and visit the village because we are from the same village.
Yeah.
And then from there, we come just to make the story short so that we give other colors.
Yeah.
And then from there, imagine we start dating. Our firstborn he was born in 2017.
Mm.
From there, we just cohabitate. I call the lady, we stay. Because that time I moved from Wolfis to Windhoek, I called the lady, and then we stay in the ghetto Havana, my friend.
Yeah.
from there we stayed together. Now the parents, they were just pushing.
Yeah.
You guys were just together. Even people, they started criticizing. What are you waiting? Now in my heart, me, I was brave enough. I just say, my friend, this lady, I have, because sometimes it's just a resources. We say, chances are there, but people with their naked eyes, you cannot see it, because other men, sometimes they don't have resources to marry a lady.
Yeah.
Some lady, they are also demanding that they don't want to go to magistrate.
Yeah.
So, to other people, to other men like me, it increases chances for the person for the woman to be married, because the more I start knowing you, the more I know you, the more I realize that this is a person to be married.
Yeah, but doesn't give you also that comfort that, well, what do I need that I'm not getting now? Why would I want to get married while I'm getting everything already?
That is the thing, that's why I wanted to come at that point, that us men, we have different thoughts. When you are there, you are thinking that, even this person is from that family, if the family, they are just also quite so. And the lady here, she's not even saying anything. And the women, they are not the one who used to ask for marriage. So a person who just, there are men who are taking chances. Me, I'm having also my auntie who was dating a person. Even before I was not even thinking of having a woman when I was very young at that age. And imagine, my auntie was born in 1970-something, and they are still living together with that man. And then I used to, even me who was just come recently, I get married last year, but we stayed almost 10 years. I engaged the lady in 2017.
Yeah.
Then we come to get married. I always tell my woman that, don't worry. One day it will be one day. I'll just marry you. Even the lady sitting in front of me, my friend, I'm just starting in that lady that I will marry this lady.
Yeah.
I can't even, because if you say no, I will just feel comfortable that everything that I need, the woman is cooking, the woman is what. So why should I have to get married? But the marriage itself, it needs somebody for you yourself to understand what is married. That's why most of us, we don't understand what is to get married.
Yeah.
Because
did you get married eventually because of you staying together and getting to know each other? Or did you get married because he's the right kind of person you want in your life?
Yeah, because we passed through a lot of stages, and then I have realized that I have to get married, first of all, because there are a lot of things are involved when you are there. I don't know about other men, but for me, that's why I did not get married to that. I did not marry that person on time. If I could have the resources in Gonoko, I was supporting that woman, everything was on top of me. O familia ya Monoko, then Opatame Goku Hasela. If you need to talk about it, to carry it to the Nepamanga, or talk about it, we support the family and Amandi supporter. So financial, I was not stable on that area again. And the guy jam of financial and a problem. And if you know what I was on the recover, then all that was saying on the recover, in recovery, which are for me to get a lot of money.
Yeah.
We just went to register. Shop again, the money will be to Okuland issue that dang up on the land during the two.
Yeah.
So talk it up of being a strat. Lucky enough, it was even last year in May, or Taya came with up on one day. I know the cool day. I was not even, I did not do it at a workplace on the Japo Pironga, Maja Kalonga, Upone Kalonga, Takwa Sangi. If you end up Pironga, Pogamarina, Jaloringanare, or Tati. So So from here you just disappear, so you go and get married. And when you come back, I just measure Kalamu. Ukakale kieno nua ere lava neve shingeko ina jakomi kuna dao. Mala onda toko le ove kemwe ni jenga ango wa toko la. Mala kuchalu menu. Na tufikame ino tere la toti. Ano atere rumono mayo zingengo no empanda isi material woman. Ushigucha ono ntungi otulipa mwena ya okuhole nge. Atu drugu kala pamwe. Shashu njoga no shima shime shi mongala mwinyito shipiwa shashi. Ngengo wafo kasa mshonde to shuduko. People, we don't understand what is marriage.
Yeah.
Okuwa tuno kushudifuwa kwa mwule ndi. Atu shudifuwa kwa mwule kucha. Ongenge, oshe hapo njokana, because people are getting married because yeah. of what, People, wapumbo mapu kululo. Yeah. That's why anuamwule sitarama kucha. Njokana, oshifa afane geno kuhabitate. Mala. It's not the same.
Exactly.
It's big difference.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, no.
It's
no,
a
no.
nice topic.
Yeah.
I love that topic because almenu aturie genu unona wa anuturie gena womo. Oni tofikama imari wouna.
Yeah.
Oni totine. Ipotuna tuye gena ndoku mengestara. Kanda atukungu anu yetu wavari. Kaningeko kapati. Ucha haka pati. Ucho mwaya kende.
Tankari yoken tanki. Yeah.
Even get a sheep, just advice, or sheep, or go away. So I long for one of you slaughter a sheep, and then from there, or put an ingila and when it avatar, they are no penashi in the guava by inviting gua, learning Goshima Shakula. Like for me, I did not even use more than 5,000. It was just in your ring, make a terror mongone.
Yeah.
Shashi yelingo on the budget on the car and the Dylan there. I put in one a year service
of a wedding. Yeah, the wedding day.
I was even lucky that Kalunga Shimene or Peke again or Guru Nuwa Kaferanga. I was supposed even to have a 7 seater Ukumba Tama, the Shivari Vane. Now I'm going to talk up with Langi from my aunt's, my mother's side of Penoka and away. It was a very wonderful thing. Long ago, that director was coming in. She was going to my dear. Have a tour on to if you see me now, people they are even starting to organize that. Things are changing now. Salary and the pay my vision. You know, $10,000. I can manage it on that.
Yeah,
now I'm shaped up, I'm grown up, so I'm doing well, so I just want that to intervene in my life, Abucha.
Yeah.
Imagine if I make a dokana got a filo of yoasa.
Yeah.
Doasa Uriga meaning talk for who no injo push parashata lung.
Let's give others a chance now, yeah?
Yes,
all right.
They must listen to what I say. Men up.
Yeah. All right, man.
Thank you very much for the nice topic.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful topic.
Yeah. No. Thanks for coming through. Right?
I will start calling me.
All right.
Okay. If I get data, then I will start to listen to it. Because we normally used to listen to the radio.
Yeah. We know that there are challenges for now. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sir. Okay. Great. All right. Yeah. So exactly. He just an example of what I said earlier on. And I'm glad that he came through, that he really, really came through. And he just actually say things that, we are looking at. So as I said, you know, and a story like that, it illustrates the point perfectly, you know, a family. And I have another a family from Ahangwena. Now we're talking about the family, because I'm saying that sometimes the problem arises when the family now is starting to kind of ask questions, you know, when are you going to get married? Like as you were saying, people outside, they don't know what is going on. Yeah, but we're looking at this in terms from, you know, you living together, you're cohabitating. Would that actually increase your chances of being married or decreases that. And from this case, so this is, we can flip it on the others. On this side is that, you know, this help actually to increases that. All right. So yeah. And then the other story that I wanted to share is the story that, as I said, that illustrate actually, this point perfectly. You know, it was a family from the Hangwena region came to, these are the parents now, came to consult with me about their daughter. And she had been, she has been living with her partner for eight years. Yeah. And they had three children together. Like this one, he was saying they had a child before even they got married. So they have a children, three children together, but marriage has never happened. Now, the father of these children, always had an excuse, the typical example that the caller was talking. Let me finish building the house. Let me save more money for Oyonda or Lobola. Let me get promoted at work. You know, year after year, the excuses just continued. So, and as I said, the parents and the families, normally they wouldn't want you to live together without, you know, a formal, wedding. So meanwhile, this woman had invested her youth. Imagine they have three together. It's about 8 years. Had invested her youth, her bearing years, you know, her everything into this relationship without the security and the dignity of marriage. You understand? So her family was worried and they kind of feel like embarrassed and unsure of what to do. So, yeah. So, and as he said, you know, this is not something that is accepted, all right, from outside, either from the family, from whatever. So, it family feel like it's actually bring some embarrassment. It brings some, you know, they're not sure now what's going to happen. But the other thing is this. Okay, but I want you to look at this also, that what if he decided to say, no, I don't want this anymore? 8 years, given this guy three children. Do you understand? That's why the caller said, men up. You know, that's why I said, men up. You must man up. And you shouldn't just, you know, leave with Okanakovanu, as he said, you can't just live with somebody for 8 years, having three children and not be able to do it. I mean, and not be able to formalize that relationship. So, yeah. And that's the point he's making. And this brings us now to the critical point, in our discussion. Cohabitation in Namibia often exists in a gray area. All right. It often exists actually in a gray area. It is not officially recognized by our legal system, the way the marriage is. So the living together is not recognized. Now imagine if you live together and this person also work. They contribute to your life together. Yeah? So, but that cohabitation, it does not actually provide the same protection, the same right, the same social standing. You know, it doesn't. Now, yet you may have people sometimes you have many people enter into cohabitation arrangement without fully understanding these implications. You know, so they assume that living together for years automatically grant them certain rights. There are those who are thinking that. So, they are often devastated to discover that this is not the case. Eh? Just imagine you could have actually spent, I mean, you definitely contributed to that lifestyle for 8 years. You know, there are children now, but he can decide to say, look, I probably want to marry somebody else. Now, what I want you to think here also is to consider what happened when the cohabitating relationship ends. Okay? without now those legal framework of marriage, property division becomes complicated. As I said, you have maybe probably have contributed to the well-being of the house, and maybe there are certain things you also part of the building could have contributed the building of the house. Now, as I said, property division becomes complicated. Inheritance becomes, you know, contested if, say, for example, the man died or even the woman died. That doesn't matter. Custody of children becomes a battle, you know. So, and I have seen cases where a woman lived with a man for 15 years, contributed to the building, contributed to the building of his wealth. You know, the woman has contributed to the building of his wealth, raised his children, and when he died, his family actually chased her away without nothing. Eh? Not without nothing, because these are two words meaning the same thing. With nothing. Yeah. So, and this is a common practice. This is a common practice in Namibia, because you have no legal frame that would protect you. Because there was no marriage certificate, no lobola, no official recognition of her position in his life. So these are some of things that, you know, as a woman, you should be very, very, very careful or think before you decide actually to live together with somebody. So, and my dear listeners, I'm not sharing these stories to frighten you. Like, I mean, there was a good example of the caller. You know, I share them to eliminate realities that many don't consider when they decide to move together, to move in together. Love is beautiful. But love alone does not protect you when things go wrong. It doesn't protect you when things go wrong. So, and commitment is powerful. Commitment is powerful, but without formal recognition, that commitment can be difficult to prove and impossible to enforce. Yeah? So you need that formal recognition. So now, I want to be fair, all right? Like, and also balance in this discussion. Not every cohabitating relationship end up in disappointment, like the example of the caller that we have. I also have worked with couples who lived together before marriage and went on to have a beautiful and lasting marriage. It depends how long have a beautiful marriage, you know, and happy marriage so far. From outside. So I have seen situations where, just hold on quickly. I'm coming back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 2 minutes past the hour of 12. All right. So, yeah, no, I was talking about, I just wanted to flip that. I just wanted to give the example of, to say, well, there are also, it's not just end, not every cohabitating relationship end actually in disappointment. You know, I have seen situation where, cohabitation, you know, help, like in this case of the caller, help couple actually clarify their compatibility. you know, and strengthen their bond. So I'm not here to make a blanket condemnation of the practice. So what I'm here to do is help you think critically about what cohabitation mean for your specific situation, for your specific situation, your specific goal, and your specific future. So that's what you need to, for you to, when I'm highlighting some of these things, for you to figure out what does it mean for me? All right? So now, so we're going to look at another section. Does cohabitation, this is now the core of what we're discussing. So as we prepare for our next section, you know, I want you to reflect on these questions, really. If you are currently cohabitating or considering it, what are your expectations? When you go into this, when you go into this practice, what is your expectation? Have you discussed marriage timelines with your partner as you go into this? So because years goes on, and we're going to talk about that. Have you considered what protection or lack thereof? Yeah? So the protection that exists in your current arrangement, is there any protection or the lack of it? So these are not serious. I mean, these are not easy. These are not easy questions, but they are necessary ones. These are necessary questions that you, before you get actually get to live with somebody, that you get to ask yourself. All right. So let's quickly also have another musical break, and then we definitely come back to our get where we ended. All right. So I'm gonna give you Let Me Love You by Loiso. Yeah, I think this guy won the competition. Loiso, Let Me Love You.
Every second that I look at you, you're perfect to me. Every little moment that I spend with you is so amazing. You're my weakness. Don't you ever go, I'll always want you. I'll go to war, I'll always love you. Treat you right. You're perfect to me.
Let me love you now. Let me hold you now. I've been sitting wondering if I can make you mine. I can love you right. Baby, you're my everything.
Let me love you now. Let me hold you now.
I've been sitting wondering
if I can make you mine.
If you believe in love, tell me why you hide it. Tell me why you always run it.
Come on closer.
If you believe in us, take me where your heart is. Take me where your mind is floating.
I wanna be where you are.
Oh, don't you ever go. Always want you. I go to war. I will always treat you right. Oh, oh, oh.
Every day and night,
call me and I'll hold you.
Despite the past,
I always treat you right.
You're perfect.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. All right, welcome back. Our time is about 9 minutes past the hour of 12. And if you're just joining us, this is Mind Matter, the show that focuses on you, you know, on aspect that affect how you think, how you feel, and how you make choices in life. So, and I'm Michael Chiavelli, your host. So, and I'm here. I will be with you until the hour of 1 o'clock. We still have a couple of minutes. Still plenty of minutes, actually. Still about have, it's about 40 or 50. About 50 minutes before we conclude the show. Now let's get into now. Now we come to the heart of today's discussion. Does cohabitation actually lead to marriage or discourage marriage? So, and this is the million-dollar question that many of you, many of us have been waiting for me to address directly. Now, let me share with you what research or observation and experience have taught me about these complex issues. And you are most welcome to come through, like the previous caller, that caller who actually came through and share his experience. Now, study conducted in various countries have shown some interesting, you know, have shown some interesting and sometimes contradictory, I think, findings. Some research suggests that couples who cohabitate, for example, couple who cohabitate before marriage have a higher rate of divorce. Other studies indicate that cohabitation has little effect on marriage outcomes at all. So, but here is what I have, what I found most really relevant for our Namibian context. So, and this is very important. For me, the intention behind cohabitation matter more than the act itself. All right? The intention behind cohabitation matter more than the act itself. I think that's what I found in Namibia. That's and through the counseling experience. Let me explain what I mean by this. There's a significant difference between a couple who moves in together with a clear engagement and marriage plan. There are those who they are moving together and they have this clear plan, you know, clear engagement and marriage plan, and also between that couple and a couple who actually drift into living together without any discussion of future commitment. So there is a difference. And the research shows that engaged couple who cohabit before their wedding have a similar divorce rate to couples who wait until marriage. So there's not much of the difference. But couples who move in together without engagement, without clear plans, often faces different outcomes. So, and these are the issues. These are the couples that will end up actually, you know, in domestic violence. Couples who end up actually killing each other, you know. So, and in my counseling experience, I have identified what I call sliding versus deciding phenomena. You know, there is those sliding versus deciding phenomena. So what it means is that some couples slide into cohabitation. You know, you slide into it. Yeah? It starts with spending nights together. You know, this is how we start, spending night together, then keeping some clothes at each other's place, then gradually moving in without ever having a clear conversation about what this mean. What does it mean? We just found us living it together. And without that clear conversation, what does this mean and where it is heading? So these are the sliding, you know, this is the sliding couple that are sliding into cohabitation. Yeah. The other couple decide to cohabit. You know, they have explicit discussion about their relationship, their timeline, their expectations, and their commitment to each other. So these are the two couples that you have. The sliding couples are the ones who often find themselves stuck. These are the people who find themselves stuck. Years passed. They become comfortable in their arrangement. The urgency to marry diminishes because they already have the benefit of living together. So, yeah. So, you know the saying, why buy the cow when the milk is free? As the old saying goes, you know, why buy the cow when the milk is free? Eh? I know this saying is problematic and reduce relationship to some kind of like a transactions. Yeah. But, you know, but you have to take this in account. But there's a kernel of truth in it that we cannot ignore, that we honestly cannot ignore. So now human beings often need external pressure. So this is just human. They need some kind of an external pressure or clear milestone to take significant step. That's happened within your life as well. So you need to have things that you want to achieve together. Okay? Milestone that have a time frame. Yeah? But if it's left open, you know, and there's no pressure or clear goals, you know, people becomes, you know, become, when there's not that pressure, they don't move. Yeah? So, and when those milestones are removed, when you remove all the goals and milestones and all, or maybe when they are unclear, momentum can be lost, you know? So, yeah. And remember, a couple who came to see me, a couple who came to see me, they had been living together for 6 years. Beautiful home, good jobs, supportive friends, but marriage has never happened. All right? So when I asked them individually why they had not married, their answers revealed a very troubling pattern. Now, the men, and this is something the caller have also highlighted, the men said, we are already living like husband and wife. So marriage is just a piece of paper. So that's what he said. So, and the woman said, I have been waiting for him to propose. I thought moving in together would show him I am a wife material. But now I feel stuck. So now, here is the really the sad reality in many such situations. You know, so one partner views cohabitation as a step towards marriage. Like now the lady thinks that she has been waiting for him to propose. And while the other view is as an alternative to marriage, where the guy feel that, well, marriage is just a piece of paper. We already living like husband and wife. So if these issues are not, you know, you can see different expectations. You know, this mismatch in expectation, what does it do? It creates resentment. It creates disappointment. And eventually relationship actually break down, or, you know, that's when we start to see violence. Now, the tragedy is that many people never discovered this mismatch until years have been, you know, years that they have been invested. They have already invested so many years in that relationship. And perhaps there are also children in that relationship. So they only discovered that later. Eh? So, and this is what I want you to understand. This is what I want you to understand. From the very beginning, what are your expectations? Remember the questions that I was asking you. So what is your expectation? What is your goal of living together? Now, maybe let me share the other side of the coin as well. So it doesn't seem that, you know, like as an example of the caller we have. So I have also worked with a couple from whom cohabitation strengthened their relationship and led to a beautiful marriage. So, and this couple shares certain characteristics that I believe make the difference. So, and he mentioned some of those. Now, first, they had explicit conversation about their future before moving in together. So remember that. Explicit is not just something you assumed that this is what is going to happen. It's something that they actually discuss about their, when they are moving together, they discuss what is going to happen. So they knew where they were heading as a couple. They didn't slide in. This is not a sliding couple. Okay? This is the couple that actually have a decision. Second, they set timeline. The other thing is that they set a timeline for major milestone, including marriage. Yeah? So what maybe one is studying, okay, then they say, okay, let you finish actually study first. And then once you finish studying, so let's have a year, 1 or 2 years you working. And then from there, our marriage will be in 30 years from now. You understand? There are, you know, they set timelines for major milestone. I want you to understand this. As I said, those who have succeeded have actually these things, have actually these certain characteristics that I'm talking about. So, and also, one thing that I have also found is that they maintain some level of independence even while they're living together. You know? So they still maintain some level of independence. It's not that there are still money that individual actually are entitled to themselves. There are still certain things that belong to, you know, to individual. Then to as a couple already, you know. So, yeah. So they maintain some level of independency still when they are living together. I think those are some of the characteristics that are very important. So the fourth thing probably is that their family are aware and support their arrangement. So because they went to their family, they talk about it, families know what is going on. So yeah. So the families also support that. It's not like the way you're just sliding in and start just to living together without even family knowing. So, and there's a couple that comes to my mind. It was from Wabash Bay. So they were both in their early 30s, very well established in their career. And they were very clear about wanting marriage and children. So, and before moving in together, they sat down with both set of parents and explained their plan. You know, they talked to the girl's, the woman's parents and also the man's parents. So, and then they explained their plan. So they set a 2-year timeline for marriage. They saved money together for Oyonda and their wedding. So, and 2 years later, exactly as planned, they had a beautiful traditional church wedding, followed by, you know, those traditional ceremony. So today they have been married for 5 years with 2 children. So, and their cohabitation was, you know, in this case, so their cohabitation was a stepping stone. It was a stepping stone, not a stumbling block, as we asked at the prop. It was a stepping stone because intentionally, and probably underline that word, intentionally was present from the very beginning. They have an intention. They have a goal. Yeah? It's not just they happen just to live together. They're assuming that, no, this is what it means. And then in the end, somewhere 3 years, 4 years, 5 years later, you know, that's not the case. So because intentionally, the intentionality was present from the very beginning. So, and this brings me to a critical point I want to emphasize. Okay, the point I want to emphasize is that cohabitation itself is neither good nor bad. All right? It's neither good nor bad. It is neutral. It's actually a neutral arrangement that become positive or negative based on how it is entered into. So it can only become positive or negative depending on how you entered into it, how it is conducted, and what expectations surround it. You understand? So that's what cohabitation is all about. It's not in itself, it's neither good or bad. It only depends on, you know, how it is entered, how have you entered into this relationship, into this living together, how do you conduct it, and what are the expectations surrounding it. I think that's, I just wanted to make that point very clear. All right? So the danger lies not in living together before marriage, but in doing so without clarity, without communication, you know, without commitment. So that's where the danger is. So there's also something I normally call a sunk cost problem, you know, in cohabitation relationship. And this is a concept from the economics that that applies here perfectly. That's applied perfectly to this kind of a relationship. Now, when you invest significant time, let's say, for example, significant time, your time, your money, emotion into something, okay? You invested, you put so much into it, in terms of money, in terms of time, in terms of emotion, you become reluctant to walk away, even when you should. You understand? So you really become reluctant. It doesn't matter whether it could be business. Now, I'm applying that sunk cost, problem into this relationship. So cohabitating couples often accumulate shared property. Okay? Sometimes they accumulate shared property. They have pets together. They have social circles together. People, and it's like a marriage couple. So, and of course, children. Now, walking away from such an entangled life become increasingly difficult, even when the relationship is unsatisfying or even harmful, maybe violent, because you have invested significant time, money, emotion into it. I have counseled a woman who knew deep down that their cohabiting partner were not right for them. She knew that he wasn't right for her. But they have invested 3, 4, 5 years. They invested all these years in this relationship. So they had children together. So they built a home together. Now, starting over seems impossible. And that is a problem for many women. Yeah? Starting over. So they stayed, hoping things would improve. Hoping that he would change. And that's always the assumption. He would change. Hoping marriage would somehow fix everything that was broken. And that's normally the whole thinking was, well, if we get married, it will actually, then marriage would actually fix things that went there or that were there that are not good. And this, my dear listener, is a trap that unclear cohabitation can create. I want you to understand that's a trap that if your cohabitation is not very clear, you know, this is a trap that it can create. And on the flip side, I think what we need to understand is that marriage is not automatically a solution to a relationship problem. You understand? It's not a solution. That if you have a problem now while cohabitating, it doesn't mean when you marry, it automatically, it's like a marriage is an automatically a solution to a relationship problem. It is not. I have seen couples rush into marriage from cohabitation when their relationship was already troubled. Yeah? Their relationship was already troubled and they rush into marriage. Now, they thought a wedding will transform everything. It didn't. Yeah? It didn't. The same problem exists. The same problem existed the day after the wedding that existed the day before. So marriage only amplifies what is already present in the relationship. It does not create something new. It doesn't. So if the problem existed before the after the wedding, they still existed before. Those one who still exist after the wedding, they still exist, is still those problems who exist before the wedding. So, as I said, marriage, it does not create something new. It just amplifies what's already present in the relationship. If your foundation is shaky, a marriage certificate will not suddenly make it solid. It won't. So, as we move towards now the next section, I want you to think. I just want to go have another quick music break. But what I want you to think is this. The quality of your relationship matter more than your living arrangement. You know, that's very important. The quality of your relationship matter more than actually your living arrangement. A committed, communicative, loving, cohabitating couple, for example, has a better foundation than a married couple with secrets, with resentment and poor communications. That's why it's the quality of your relationship matter more than your living arrangement. So, but if you desire marriage, for example, and your partner seems content with cohabitation indefinitely, I think you need to have an honest conversation. You need to have an honest conversation about your future. So life is too short to drift through relationship without directions. You need to have a direction. I always say this, you know, I normally say to women, once you reach 25 years and you get into a relationship, let's say, for example, you want to have a family one day, once you reach 25 years as a woman, you actually have a right to find out where does this relationship's heading. And I always said, well, I'm not saying really that it's your fault, but you can be, because sometimes you ask, you know, do you guys have spoken about wedding? No, we haven't spoken about, you don't know where you stand with a man when you are 25 already. So in any relationship that you get, your goal is just to have a family. So you could be now be in the relationship for 4 or 5 years. How many? 5 years. You are now 30. And probably you can get also a child from that relationship. So, or 2. Now, this man leave you with 2 children. Who are the men who actually would want to marry you with, with two children from other men. It's possible. It's not, but it's not, it's not say that it's not possible, but it's very difficult. It's very difficult. It's very, very, very difficult. So when you are 25, from 25 on, 24, 25 on, onward, as a woman, you should be able to know where that relationship is actually leading. All right. So we're going to come back. We're going to come back. Let's have a music, quick music break. And then, so we're going to come back. All right. Azania Zalabantu. Welcome back, and that's Azana Zalabantu. All right, welcome back. Our time is 38 minutes. You know, when you have fun, 38 minutes past 12, when you have fun, time flies when you have fun. All right, welcome back, my dear listener. Now, I want to share some stories, okay, from, I think, from my counseling experience, stories that illustrate the complexities of cohabitation in our Namibian context. And these are a real situation, and each story carries a lesson for all of us. Now, Let me tell you about a 34-year-old nurse from Oshikoku. She had been living with her boyfriend for 7 years. They met at a wedding in Windhoek and felt deeply in love. Now, Thomas, the boyfriend, was a charming guy, you know. He's a charming, hardworking, attentive. You know, when he suggested they move in together, Selma, the nurse now, saw it as a natural progression towards marriage. All right? So they are boyfriend and girlfriend. So her friends were doing it. So her younger sister had done it. And she was now happily married. So why should she be different? Now, the first two years were wonderful. You know, they shared chores together. You know, when couple, just the first 2 years, they were really good. Cooked together, you know, do everything together, planned their future together. You know, Thomas talked about marriage often now, and he mentioned saving for, you know, introducing her formally to his family in the north and building a house together, all those kind of stuff. Now, Selma was patient, you know. She understood that things took time, and she contributed to their household, support his career as well, because he was still, you know, support his career advancement, and waited. But as the years, 3 and 4 and 5 passed, the marriage talk became less frequent. You know, Thomas doesn't talk about, you know, Thomas started making some excuses now. So his business needed more investment. You know, his mother was ill and needed support. You know, the economy was tough. You know, always something. So meanwhile, Selma's family was asking some uncomfortable questions. So her mother, especially a traditional woman who valued formal unions. You remember when a parent, your child is living with somebody, they always feel that that's not how it should be. So there was now, you know, they were worried, increasingly worried about her daughter's position. So what if he leaves you? What if he leaves you with nothing, you know? So they were asking, and what people would say about our family. That's with always, you know, something that parents would say. People are talking about it. You know, when parents in their circles, you know, when they ask, "Oh, ano serima?" You know, "Oy, inahumbola ano?" You know, haven't they got married yet? You know, so in a year 6, Selma became pregnant. And she thought this would then finally push Thomas now towards marriage. So many families in Namibia actually see a child as a cementing. Normally, many families see this as a cementing the relationship, creating agency for formal union. In some cases, some family actually push that or force you to get married, even if you don't want to. So this was now like, you know, see this as now Selma also see that as a, okay, this would definitely push him to pop the question. But Thomas' response, you know, shocked her actually. You know, he said, we're already a family, so why rush into marriage? So maybe let's focus on the baby now. So then Selma was really, really, really devastated. She had invested 6 years of her life, give him a child, and still marriage was somewhere in a very distant future. Now, when Selma came to see me, she was torn between living and staying. You know, she loved Thomas. That's one thing she mentioned. She loved Thomas. They had built a life together. Their son was the joy of her life. But she felt unvalued. I think these are very important things. She felt unvalued, uncommitted to, uncertain about her future. So she said something that stayed with me. I wish I had demanded clarity before we moved in together. I think she kind of like blaming herself. I get myself tangled in this. I should have. I wish I had demanded that clarity before we moved in together. So now I feel trapped by my own choices. So that's what she said. So I think, and the lesson here, the reason why I'm telling you this story is the lesson from Selma's story is not that cohabitation is wrong. Okay. Well, if you're coming from the church perspective, that could be the case. So it's not that cohabitation is wrong. The lesson is that unspoken expectation create suffering. So Selma expected cohabitation to lead to marriage. Thomas saw cohabitation as alternative to marriage. So they never explicitly discussed this difference until the years has passed and the child was involved. But then the stakes were too higher now. And living was much, much, much harder. So that's why when she came, she was now conflict whether to leave or stay because of where she is now. There could be also, let me also say a contrasting story. All right. Oh, what I remember what I said. The lesson is we're learning from Selma's story is that unspoken expectations create suffering. So don't just assume that that's what he's thinking or that what she's thinking. Communicate it. Maybe let me give you a contrasting story just to give the difference. One with a happier outcome. Joseph and Martha met at the University of Namibia. They were both studying education and dreamed of becoming teachers. After graduation, they both found jobs in Windhoek but struggled to afford a separate accommodation. So they decided to move in together, but with a clear understanding. Both signed a lease together. So before they signed the lease together, they have what they have what Martha called the big conversation. Let's call it the big conversation. Now, they discussed their 5-year plan, their marriage. They also discussed their marriage timeline, their financial goals, and their family expectations. So they even wrote down their agreement in a simple document, and not a legal contract, but in a simple document, but a statement of mutual understanding. So they agreed to save certain amount each month towards their future wedding. They agreed to introduce each other formally to their families within the first year of cohabitation. So they agreed to marry within 3 years. 2 years, 9 months into their engagement and into their arrangement, they had a beautiful wedding at Martha's family farm in the Ochodonchupa region. So both families were involved and supportive, and today they are still happily married. Well, happily could be from my seeing that from outside, with 2 children, actually. Now, their cohabitation period was a stepping stone, not a destiny, because they made it so deliberately. So it was deliberate. So what made the difference between Selma and Thomas and Joseph and Martha, what made the difference is that, so it wasn't luck, okay? It's not something that was luck. It was not destiny. It was intentionality, as I said earlier on. Joseph and Martha discussed their expectation before moving in together. They set clear timelines. They involved their families, you know. So they treated cohabitation as a temporary stage on the way to marriage, not a permanent arrangement. This intentionality made all the difference. So that made more the difference. Let me share one more story. This one is about a man, I think a man perspective. I'm going to call him Fanwell. Actually, he is Fanwell. Yeah, I hope he's not going to kill. So, yeah. No, this is just a name I'm making up. Okay? Fanwell is, how old was he? I think he was 42 years old, and he was a businessman from Rundu. He was a businessman from Rundu. He came to see me, not because he was unhappy in his cohabitating relationship, but because he was confused. So he had been living with his girlfriend, Linnea, for 12 years. 12 years. They had 4 children together, owned property together, and were deeply integrated into each other's families. So yet they had never married. So Fano told me, the reason why I'm talking about different couples from different places is because I used to supervise centers in the regions where sometimes then I have to see sometimes do counseling in those regions. So that's why I'm giving you people from different places. Yeah. So now Fanuel told me, I love Linnea. She's the mother of my children. She has stood by me through everything, like just the call-up maybe said. But I never felt the agency, you know. I never felt the agency to marry. So we already have everything. We already have everything married people have. A home, children, family support. So what would a wedding change? So that's what he was saying. So I asked him what Linnea thought about this. He paused and said, you know, she has asked about marriage sometimes. But she never really pushed hard. So she never really pushed me to do that. And I assume she was okay with things as they are. I invited Linnea to join our next session. So when she walked in, I asked her directly how she felt about unmarried status after 12 years and 4 children. What she said surprised actually her husband, Fanwell. It's not her husband, it's a boyfriend. She said, I have wanted marriage for years. That's what she said, but I did not want to pressure him. So I thought if he loved me enough, he would marry me without me asking, you know. Now I feel like I have given him everything a wife gives without receiving the respect and commitment of being called a wife or called his wife. So now, my dear listeners, this is a common dynamic I see in cohabitating relationship. One partner, often the woman, wants marriage, but fear appearing demanding or desperate. So she stays silent, hoping that her partners will naturally move towards marriage. Meanwhile, the other partner, often the man, sees no problem with the current arrangement and assumes his partner is satisfied. Men are always dumb, you know. Now, years passed, resentment build, you know, relationships suffer from unspoken disappointment. So as we can see, that's always the case. So now after our session, Fanwell and Linnea began planning their wedding. They married following year. It was not too late for them. But Linnea shared with me later that she wished she had spoken up earlier. You know, she was spoken up years earlier. So she had sacrificed 12 years of her life, feeling slightly less than, You know, that's what you're feeling, slightly less than, slightly unworthy, slightly uncertain, you know, because she was afraid to have an honest conversation. And feeling that way, this way, that's how actually she was made to feel by the society that she lives in, you know. And the lesson here is very powerful. You know, communication is the foundation of any successful relationship. Sometimes that sounds like a cliche, but whether you are in cohabitating, dating, or married, communication is the foundation of any successful relationship. And we have seen that from all the examples and stories that I have told you. Assumptions are relationship killers. I have a lecturer, a professor who used to say, it's an American one, he would say, you know, assumption is the mother of all, you know, who screw up. I wouldn't say the word that he uses, but is it assumption is, he would say, why, he asked you, why did you know? I thought, no, assumption is the mother of all, you know, who screw up. So yeah, assumptions are relationship killers. If you want something, speak up. All right? So if you are unsure about your partner's expectation, ask. Don't let years pass in ambiguity and silent, you know? And that silent resentment, you know, you resent something, but you're just silent about it. Eh? So don't let the years pass by, you know, just in without not knowing where you're going, what to expect, you know, speak up, ask. All right. So now quickly, I have 5 minutes. Let me give you some practical guidance and wisdom. Now, I'm saying wisdom because I can tell you I have almost 20 years of counseling experience, you know. And I want to offer some practical guidance for those of you who may be considering cohabitation or currently cohabiting or supporting loved ones that through their decisions, maybe want to cohabitate. And these are not rules or commandments, okay? Don't look at them as rules or commandment, but rather wisdom gathered from years of counseling, observation, and also reflections. Now, the first thing is that if you are considering moving in with your partner, have the big conversation first. Now, have the big conversation. This conversation should cover several essential questions. You know, where do we see this relationship's heading? And remember what I said earlier, if you are about 57, I mean, if you are 25, you know, getting into a serious relationship, these are the questions we should be asking. Because you find yourself 5, 7, 8 years in a relationship that gets you nowhere. And what happened? You know, those are the things that happen. Violence, domestic violence happens, and killing happen. Where do we see this relationship heading? So those are the questions that you should be. Have a big conversation first. Do we both see marriage in our future? We should know that this relation is heading somewhere. Do we both see marriage in our future? So what is our timeline for major milestone? You know, maybe we are involved, we are still studying or whatever the case. What is the timeline? So when are we reaching this goal and that goal and that goal? What are our individual expectations from living together? Okay. So these are some questions that basic one. What am I expecting? What is my expectation from living as we live together? So, and are our families aware and supportive? That's very, very important. Yeah. So these questions, well, they may feel uncomfortable to discuss, but avoiding them create far more discomfort down the road. believe me. And that's where we have a lot and a lot of these relations. That's why we have so many women found in 13, 40, you know, without and having two children. That's how one woman found in 30, especially 30 and above, and with children, and finding it difficult to find a man to get married. It's because you have been in a relationship that you have been there for a while that, you know, at the beginning you didn't, you know, you haven't asked these questions. If you are currently cohabitating without clear marriage plans, it is not too late to have this conversation. Okay? Many people fear that bringing this up will actually push the partner away. And in my experience, the opposite is actually often true. Clear communication about desires and expectation can actually strengthen a relationship. So if your partner reacts negatively to a conversation about your future together, that tells you something important about their level of commitment. Yeah? It tells you about their level of commitment, and better know now than years later when you have already one or two children. Now, the third thing is that involve your family. Involve your families, both sides. In our Namibian culture, marriage is not just about two individuals. It's about two families coming together. That's our culture. When families are aware of your relationship and supportive of your plans, they can provide accountability. They can provide wisdom and pressure when needed, you know, from both sides. So a partner who is serious about marrying you will not hide you from their family indefinitely. Family involvement also provides protection if things go wrong. Eh? It's dangerous. So your people know your people. Okay? And that network of relationship creates security. And four, the other thing is that maintain some independence while cohabiting. So these are characteristics that we observe help, you know, build, increases the chances of marriage. This is practical and emotional advice, I think. So keep some money separate. Maintain some connection independent from your partner. Do not become so entangled that living becomes impossible. I'm talking about now who are cohabitating. So this is not about planning for failure. It is about maintaining your identity and also options. So healthy relationship consists of two whole individuals choosing to be together, not two halves completing each other. That means I can't live without you. Eh? Now, be honest with yourself about why you are cohabitating. That's very important. Really be honest with yourself. Is it because you truly want to build a life together with this person, marriage included? Or is it because of convenience, whatever that convenience? Or is it because of pressure or fear of being alone? Whatever the case may be honest with yourself about why you are cohabitating. Is it because you are testing the relationship? That could be also the case. Is it because all your friends are doing it? Now, knowing your true motivation would help you make a better decision and set appropriate expectations. So if you have been cohabitating for years without progress towards marriage, maybe consider setting a deadline for yourself. This is not an ultimatum for your partner, to your partner, but a commitment to yourself. Decide internally how long are you willing to wait. Yeah? What you need to see, what is that you need to see to feel confident in a relationship future? And what would you do if those needs are not met? Many people drift through relationship for decades because they never set internal boundaries. You need to set those internal boundaries. Now, remember that marriage is not just a piece of paper. As some dismissively, you know, say, marriage is a public commitment witnessed by family, community, often God. So it creates legal protection that cohabitation does not provide. So it signals to your partner, to the world, that you are in this for a long haul. It provides security for any children, you know, you may have together. And it honors the tradition and values that have sustained our community for generations. So do not let anyone minimize the significance of this community, commitment. And for parents listening today, you have a role to play as well. If your adult child is cohabitating, do not simply criticize or condemn. Engage them in a conversation. Ask about their plans. Offer wisdom without judgment. Make your home a safe place for honest discussion about relationship. Young people often make decisions in isolation because they fear parental disapproval. Open communication can prevent many mistakes. Now, for young people listening, I urge you to learn from those who have walked this path before you. Every elder, every older person you see who is unhappy in a long-term cohabitating arrangement once thought they were different. Every person who's wasted years waiting for marriage that never came once believed their partner would eventually come around. So humility in learning from others' experience can save you from repeating their mistakes. Maybe finally, remember that your worth is not determined by your relationship status. Whether you are single, dating, cohabitating, or married, you are a valuable human being, deserving of love, respect, and commitment. Never let anyone make you feel that asking for marriage is desperate or unreasonable. Never stay in an arrangement that does not honor your worth. Never settle for less than what you truly deserve and what you truly desire. So, our time is about 6 minutes past the hour of one. So that definitely brings us to the end of our this episode of Mind Matter. So yeah, it matters because when we think deeply about our lives and relationship, we make a better choice. Better choice create better lives, and better lives build better communities, and better communities shape a better Namibia for all of us. So until next time on Mind Matters, I leave you with this. Your mind matters, your heart matters, your choices matters, and your future, my dear listeners, is worth protecting, planning, and pursuing with intentions. So be blessed, be wise, and be well. Until next time, I'm handing over to Tate France, coming up with the realm of the realist, the realm of historic, coming up after this. Well, let me leave you with a song until Tate take over. All right. Nati Nomvula.
Give us your tender, your lubas tenderness, Lalima Dungay. banjwa nguwe.